The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and gardening design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, send her an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome to Down the Garden Path, where every week at this time of night, we discuss down-to-earth practical advice about plants, gardens, landscape design, my favorite topic, and landscaping. So and last week was chickens, so which was a big hit. So
I'm thinking of getting a chicken.
Yes, well, you need three after what talking to Janet. So so it was a record show though, Gary, with the listeners. So
beautiful.
That was
good
great.
For you.
That was really great. And today we're going to get back to landscaping. It's still spring in southern Ontario. Is still not quite here. It's still only. Still winter coat weather, snow, still bits of snow laying around. So tonight we are going to talk with a landscaper, my first American guest. I'm really happy to have him on the show. And we're going to be talking to Stan Genedek. Stan grew up in the country and has been working in the landscaping industry since he was 13. So he's been doing it a while, and he started young, so he must love it. And you will be able to tell that when you hear Stan, that I can tell he has a real passion for this industry. He moved to the Twin Cities metropolitan area and paid his way through college. The only way he knew how was running a landscaping crew. His company, Genedek.com, specializes in commercial and residential landscaping, excavating, and retaining wall construction. He quickly built this up from nothing into one of the largest specialty companies in the Midwest. Which is great. He also runs the Landscape Business Pro podcast, a program dedicated to finding experts from around the world and bringing their knowledge to help contractors everywhere build a better business, and has refocused his energy into helping others do the same. So thank you. Welcome, Stan.
Well, thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate you guys having me on your show this evening.
Well, welcome. I'm excited to have you join us all the way from the Midwest. So how is spring eking its way through for you?
We finally have some robins that don't seem to be freezing their tail feathers off. So we're kind of getting excited. It's about that time of the season when the phones start ringing and people start coming out of their winter comas and look at their backyards and they go, golly, we've got to do something back here.
That's right. Here too,
and,
yep.
And, exactly. You guys are just a little bit north of us. You don't have us beat by much, but you know what? Hey, every little bit counts. I'll take it. I'd rather be down in southern Iowa right now than central Minnesota, but whatever. I'll take whatever I can get, Joanne.
That's right. That's right. I find it kind of an exciting time of year for us, and an anxious time of year, and that, you know, we've had months to kind of get ready for it, and we never, you know, I wish there was like a start day. We never know what day it's going to start, right?
Well, for people that are looking at hiring contractors, they need to do that right now. In fact, they're a little bit behind the ball. And that's what we were going to talk about today is what are we going to do? What are you going to look for when you look for a contractor to come into your backyard, to work on your house, to work on your commercial property, to help you finish or complete a project?
That's right.
And so really there's the best time, Joanne, which a lot of people don't realize, the best time to hire a contractor is in the fall for the spring.
That's right.
Okay, but you got to be really careful when you hire those fall contractors because prices fluctuate seasonally.
Okay, all right?
So when you hire a contractor in the spring, they've starved all winter long, okay, and they're hungry. So in the springtime, you're going to get your absolute best price.
Okay.
But you may not always get the best service.
Right.
Because they're out beating each other up. Mm-hmm. Their bellies are hungry, their plates are empty, and they need to put food on the table. So they're going to do the work for the least amount of money. But if something comes along that's a little bit better, you may get bumped in that schedule. And really what we're going to talk today is about a whole list of things you need to look for and you need to do, the consumer, to protect yourself when you go out there and you're looking for a contractor, when you're looking for someone to bring them into your property.
Right. And sometimes you think that the people that are booked up in the spring are, you know, that people are getting the best contractors in the fall, like you said. Mm-hmm. And if people are standing around and have nothing to do in the spring, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, why that is.
Well, that's a very good question, and that's something that I think we're going to address.
Excellent.
We've got an hour. We've got a lot of ground to
we
cover.
We do. Yes, a couple commercial breaks, but we will. So why don't you start off by telling me some of your ideas?
Well, you know, the first thing I want to get people familiar with who we are.
Okay.
You know, we are basically a contracting firm for landscaping. So I'm 43 years old, Joanne. I've been doing this since I was 13, so I've got 30 solid years under my belt, and I've ran anywhere from 1 to 5 crews at a time on average.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm not actually the person out there hammering the nails, putting the retaining wall blocks in, installing the mulch or the landscaping, but I'm the one that's coordinating all of the people underneath me to do those sorts of jobs.
Right. Okay.
And so I have a very unique perspective that I know what my competition is doing, how they're going to my customers, and after 30 years, I can almost tell you verbatim what my customers are hearing and the things that they need to look out for, and that's what we're going to share with you today.
Excellent.
So we have a whole gamut of stuff that we need to do, but, you know, a few things that I need to start out with are the basics. You know, before we go too deep into it, let's kind of get just the basics underneath our belt. And so what this is going to work, whether you're looking at hiring a landscape contractor or you're looking at hiring any kind of a seasonal type of an outdoor contractor.
Okay.
Okay. There are certain things, because we've already touched base on when to hire a contractor. You know, the fall is a great time to hire them for the spring, but watch out for the pricing, because contractors' prices tend to go up the fuller their schedules get.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so we want to avoid what I call that magic mystery number. That's the first thing. So when you finally find that right person, you want to make sure that you're very educated on what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And I call it the magic mystery number, where it's a one lump sum.
Okay.
That, Joanne, is your first big red flag.
Yes. Okay.
So if you get that lump sum bid and you can't break anything out, throw it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And we should back up and say we should get a landscape design plan if you need one, right? We talked about that before, you and I. But the important
helps immensely.
Yes.
That puts all of your contractors on the exact same page.
Excellent.
So that is a very good starting point. Get your landscape design plan put in place. You know, that's my number one thing, Joanne. If we were actually going to go per my line items that I have, when consumers should look out for when they're hiring a contractor, the number one thing is have a plan.
Yes. Perfect. Great. Okay. Landscapes. My little motto here is great landscapes, great gardens, start with a plan.
Yes. The number two thing that we're going to look at is we need to have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say we, I say you as a consumer need to have a budget.
Yes.
But it also, if you have the right contractor with the right kind of pricing, that budget helps the contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So from a contracting standpoint, if I know where my homeowner's budget number lies and the homeowner feels comfortable with me, I can give them more for their budget.
Okay.
We can change the plan so that the dream of the homeowner can become a reality and still fit their budget. Where if we're just stuck to a plan and we don't have any idea where the homeowner wants to be, then we really can't change or modify anything so that the homeowner's priority list gets brought home.
Right. Now, do you find, how are you at getting that budget? Do you find customers are hesitant, or does it take, do you have some tricks to get the budget?
Well, the trick is to be very honest.
True.
Okay, and that's in the pricing. So when I do a pricing, when I say the magic mystery number, you'll never get that from my company.
Mm-hmm.
My company breaks everything down line item by line item by line item. You know how much your six shrubs cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know the material cost of those. You know the labor cost to install those. You know how much when my company comes in, how much the mulch costs plus to install it. You'll know the retaining walls. You'll know the grades. You'll know the sod. You'll know the excavation. You'll know every single thing. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think customers want to know that. They really do.
They need to know that because that's how they control the budget. You as the consumer, when you're out there, you're listening to me right now, you hold the reins. The contractor doesn't have the power. You have the power. You have the checkbook. You have the power. You have to take that power back. Stop feeling powerless. You are the one that's in control. The contractor has certain things that they do, which helps protect them, and that's that lump sum number. But when you get a good contractor that knows what they're doing, they are going to break every single line item out for you and have it allocated, because almost every single job at some point tends to change a little bit,
that's
Joanne.
That's right. And I think that's a way where a customer can look at the list and then go, yeah, you know what, I think we can forget that garden beside the garage. Like, let's take that out. And then they can do the math themselves, really, for the most part, or whatever the choices they make, or maybe they're even adding something. But when they have all that information in front of them, it makes it much easier for them to make an educated decision, right?
Well, exactly. So when we do a project, when we break down those retaining wall costs, we measure. So if we have a budget number in mind, if the customer's been good enough to give us that idea, we can actually show them where we can work certain items backward to fit in, because we also know the priorities.
Right.
So if they're trying to entertain, they want a bigger patio, and they want a seat wall around that patio, and they have $10,000 to spend in this example, Joanne, we go, well, what's more important? Is the seat wall surrounding the patio the most important thing, or is having enough space to actually have entertain 10 people and not have one of them sitting in the grass more important?
That's right. They're very good example.
Yes. Yeah. So in that case, then, because they've given us the budget, we can give them a landscaping project that fits their dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest difference. But you got to be really comfortable with who you choose as a contractor. And getting to that point of being comfortable is something else that we're going to cover today as well.
Oh,
how
good.
Do you get there?
Yeah, okay, that's good. Okay, so after budget, so we've got magic mystery number, be careful, and then the budget from the customer.
Yes, so you're going to want to get multiple quotes.
Yes.
Of course. Mm-hmm. You know, we do, I shouldn't even have to say that,
yeah.
Joanne. That's why I hesitate with
yeah,
that.
I
but
know.
You should get multiple quotes.
But there's multiple, and then there's ridiculous, right?
Well, tell me more. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, getting two or three quotes, getting contractors to kind of quote on, if I think back to a design, if you can get two or three contractors to quote on one job, is, I think, a reasonable number. But I think if you spend, 6 weeks calling a bunch of people and everybody knows the contractors, your red flags go up, right? The person's just kind of price shopping.
Oh, yeah, and I see that where I'll go out and do an estimate for a person, and then they'll go through Home Advisor or Angie's List, and then the same person comes to me again because, we're one of the more qualified contractors around, so we do get a lot of referrals. And I'll see that name pop up over and over again, and I don't mind it popping up a few times, but when it pops up four or five different places, it puts my red flags up. Well, is this person wasting my time as a contractor? Because my time is extremely valuable.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's what customers need to know, too, is that, I mean, you want their business and you want to do a good job for them and provide good service. But I think they've got to come along a bit and realize that how valuable your time is.
Right, but one of the things that I want to make sure that customers know when they get two or three quotes, which is exactly what you should get, Joanne.
Yes.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Don't base any of them on price.
Right.
You know, you've got to base it on, because it depends on the level of the job. If you're just having something delivered, okay,
yeah,
and you're never going to see the contractor again, well, then you can base it on price if that's what you want. But if you're going to have someone create something, build something, do something, that they're going to be at your house and you're going to live with those results for months or years and years, then base it on your gut. Your gut is a strong indicator of what that person's going to do for you.
Wow, that's great.
You got to trust your instincts. It's huge. Your instincts can tell you more about a contractor than what, you know, what the whatever all the other normal indicators could ever relate to you.
Do you look at references or past jobs and website? Do you think that kind of comes into their gut, or do you think that's kind of a separate thing?
That's a separate thing.
Okay.
And we got to go. That's called social proof.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And we got to go into that. And we can go into that right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. And social that's a great proof, term. Stan?
Social proof is a huge indicator of the quality of your contractor.
Okay.
Okay. And let's really go. Let's dive deep. Let's make sure we hit every nail on the head and dot every I, cross every T.
Okay.
So let's go through Facebook. You guys have Facebook in Canada, right?
Of course we do. Yes.
All right, you smart Canucks got that. So look at their Facebook page. When was it last updated? What are the projects on there? But more importantly than all of that, Joanne, how many likes do they have?
Okay.
Okay. So if you're hiring a landscape designer, where do you work out of, Joanne?
I work just in Pickering or Durham region of Ontario, so just east of Toronto.
Okay. About how many people would you say is in your geographical location?
Oh, Gary, help me out.
Well, in the GTA, there's 5 million.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So you're in an area which could have 5 million potential customers.
Okay, so 5 million is that's huge.
That's huge, right? Yes.
You want to look at how many likes you have in a very realistic fashion.
Okay.
So in that case, let's just say you don't work in an area that 5 million.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to put this in relative terms.
Well, you can knock it down to, let's say, east of Toronto, 1.5 million. How about that? That's
that
still
easier?
Large.
It's
yeah.
still pretty big, though.
It's still big. Say a few hundred thousand.
So
right?
let's say your area, you know, your spread where you could typically go out and work would be 200,000 people geographically. That's a very realistic number.
Okay.
You can't have 400,000 likes. If you got 200,000 people in your area, you can't have twice as many likes.
Right.
You can't even have 20,000 likes. That's 10%.
Yeah.
The problem with Facebook and with the likes is you can buy them for next to nothing.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with Twitter. You can buy likes. You can gain instant social proof almost immediately.
But I think they're working on that, too, to kind of get rid of that a bit. So.
Well, they are doing it, but it's still there's still so many different ways that you can get around it where contractors, if they want to seem viable almost immediately, that's one of those things that they can do. Now, I'm not saying a lot of them do that, Joanne, so please don't get me wrong.
Yes, yeah.
But that's something that you've got to have a realistic amount of likes.
Right.
How many people really are going to go out and going to, you know, find your business and like your business specifically? So it doesn't have to be huge, but it can't also be non-existent. It's got to be a nice blend between the two.
Right. Okay, so social proof. So Facebook, you want to be a reasonably updated site.
Google, so reviews. So we got two other ones that we're going to talk about. I don't know, you guys have Google reviews where you're at, right?
Yeah, we do. We've got Homestars. We've got a few different options online for businesses for contractors to register.
Everywhere is kind of unique. That's why I ask if you have it or not, because where I'm from, Google reviews is a huge thing.
Okay.
And so Google reviews or whatever review source you have, whether that's Yelp or something else,
yep.
in your neck of the woods, whatever works is you really want to look at those reviews, and you want to also see how many they are, what the date on those mm-hmm. reviews are, and you want to see some bad reviews. Because if it's just all 100% good, well, you know what? Nobody's that good. You know, unless they're the son of Jesus, they're yeah. not, or the son of God, they're not that good, right?
Right.
So it won't make any sense. You got to have the good with the bad, and then look at how the contractor responds to the bad reviews.
Yep.
If he or she has an option to respond, you want to see what they said. That's yep. kind of a big thing of their character. That's where you can see the inside track, the content of their character,
yep.
if somebody has that option.
Yeah.
Now, you guys do have Angie's List in Canada,
we
right?
We do, yes. I think it's actually bigger in the U.S., but it is here as well.
Okay. And you've got to be really careful with Angie's List.
Okay.
I am a contractor, and I'm going to tell you the straight-up truth. You cannot pay to be on Angie's List. But as soon as somebody gives you two reviews, as a contractor, you just get two reviews, then Angie's List will call you up and say, would you like to optimize your ratings? Would you like to optimize your reviews? And you can pay thousands and thousands of dollars as a contractor to have your reviews optimized.
Okay.
And so Angie's List, to me, although they tell you can't pay to be on it, which is 100% accurate,
yeah.
you once a contractor is on Angie's List, contractors can pay to have their listings optimized.
Okay. So and it's a little skewed then.
It's more than a little skewed.
Yeah.
You've got to be really careful with it. Here's a good story. Here's the real story. From my personal experience with Angie's List, is I got my two reviews. I didn't know that people had did it, but hey, you know what? Whatever. Because all of a sudden, my phone started ringing from Angie's List representatives. Hey, we'd like to talk to you about advertising on Angie's List. And I was totally confused. I
yes.
had no clue what this meant, so I wasn't giving them the time of day. But I happened to be driving down the road one day, completely bored, going
okay.
from meeting to meeting, nothing on my mind. And they called up, and I said, you know what, tell me more about this. And the customer rep said, you know, for just $33,000, we can optimize your rating.
Wow.
And I gulped. I'm just like, not happening.
Yeah.
Hey, not going to happen. So in a very sarcastic, straightforward tone, because I figured this conversation was going to be over at this point, Joanne.
Yes.
I said, you can take your initial offer, cut it in half, and then cut that offer in half, and then cut that offer in half.
Okay.
And then cut that offer in half again. Okay? So I was down to right around $2,000 in my mind, which was a budget number that I could have for advertising.
Yeah.
And I figured, you know, conversation over, deal is done, live and learn. Lo and behold, I ended up signing a contract for right around $3,000-$4,000.
Oh,
so it
wow.
wasn't where I started from, but
yeah.
they went from $33,000 down to $3,000-some-odd.
Wow.
And that's what I pay that today.
Really?
Every year I pay that much into Angie's List to
okay.
optimize my ratings and reviews. And I tell you this from a contractor standpoint because as a customer, when you go to Angie's List, you can't blindly trust their ratings.
Right.
If a contractor has paid like I have to have my ratings optimized, you need to read all of the ratings.
Okay.
That's how you protect yourself. And the reason I pay to have my advertising, basically it bold puts it up at the very top of the list.
Okay.
Gets my name up there in front of everybody else, gives my, you know, my reviews bigger headlines, things like that. You
it
know,
doesn't
things,
delete,
they don't change
yeah.
the reviews.
Oh, okay. They don't change the reviews. They don't delete the bad ones, that type of thing.
Nope. They
nope.
don't delete them, but they don't put them up in boldface
oh,
type
okay.
either.
Okay.
Okay, so those bad reviews are still there.
Okay.
But a lot of people don't read all of the review.
Okay.
So if they have 15 reviews and they see two or three or five awesome ones, well, they're going to stick with
yeah.
what they
yeah.
hear.
Okay, well, we are going to pause right there, Stan, for a commercial break, but we'll be right back to finish up about the social proof.
Okay.
You are listening to Down the Garden Path. I'm Joanne Shaw, and we are on Reality Radio 101. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price.
Welcome to One Love Caribbean Groceries and African Foods, located at 595 King Street East, Wilson and King Street in Oshawa. They carry a wide variety of delicious tropical fruits, vegetables, spices, halal meats, fresh fish, fresh roti, patties, cosmetics, and much, much more. Their friendly staff will be happy to serve you with all your West Indian grocery needs. One Love Caribbean Groceries, located at 595 King Street East, just a few steps east of Wilson on King Street in Oshawa. Their telephone number is 905-440-4632. That's 905-440-4632.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Love is like a bomb, 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 bomb. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send Joanne an email right now, realityradio101 at yahoo.com. And now, back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary. We are back. You're listening to Down the Garden Path. Lots of great rock music in the background. I'm here with my guest, Stan Genetic. So, Stan, we were talking about social proof and Facebook. You mentioned Facebook and Angie's List. I would think website would also be pretty important.
Yeah, how your website looks, acts, interacts. If it's hokey, that's going to be a big indicator of the way your contractor views his business. I mean, that's the brick-and-mortar store for most contractors.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a bit of a website snob. Like, if I go to a contractor, because I'm constantly looking for contractors to work with, and if I go to their website and I can't find the pictures and I can't, you know, everything's hung up and I can't maneuver it well, then I kind of, it's a red flag for me, and I just want to work with them. I don't want to buy from them. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, another red flag, Joanne, is how long have they been in business? You want to make sure that your contractor's been around the block a few times. Because that's going to show you that they've got experience under the belt to handle your project. And what is your contractor's specialty?
You know,
if you're hiring someone to come into your backyard to do something in landscaping, there's a whole gamut of different areas that people can specialize in. It could be in ponds and waterfalls. There's companies that just install ponds and waterfalls. That's what they're best at. There's other companies that just do boulder walls. There's some companies that, like my company, for instance, does pool demolition and removal.
Okay.
And we specialize in installing retaining walls. So if I come into your backyard, Joanne, and you want me to put in plants and flowers, I will look you straight in the eye and tell you I have no clue how to do that.
Okay.
That there's other contractors that I work with that are better qualified to put plants and shrubs and things like that in your backyard. But as far as the hardscaping goes, as far as doing a structural installation, something that's going to last a lifetime, you're in the right hands.
Excellent. And I think that's really important. See, you were very honest and you were up front. You know, you didn't try to fake it or sneak something in the back, you know. So I think that is, I think that's really important to know what your contractor can and can't do. And a lot of that will come from, you know, you should be able to see that on their website and in their literature. So that is great.
Yeah, it's some just a few of those things that kind of go along with that gut feeling, right?
Yes.
So let's say that you've picked out your three contractors, you've actually got them to visit your site, and you've actually gotten three people to give you an estimate.
Okay.
Now, you're batting 100 for 100 right there.
Okay.
I mean, that is, and I don't mean to downplay that. That is how I built my business, was off from other contractors going out to sites and then never returning the call after the fact.
Yeah.
I heard that time and time again. In fact, that was our motto. We will always give a number whether we want the job or not.
Okay.
And we will let people know that, hey, this isn't perfect for us, but you know what? Here's exact about how much something like that should cost.
Right.
And if they wanted to follow through because they appreciated honesty, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But now let's just say you get a contractor to come out to your site. There's certain things that you need to look at. You know, they've kind of passed the litmus test of, do I even want to call them and have them there? But when they get there, there's other things that this is kind of diving deeper into it. Okay.
Okay.
You know, of course you gotta size them up.
Yeah.
You know, your first impression is your best impression.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the 7-second rule. But now we live in the age of Twitter, Facebook, and all these other things where our attention is divided, and it's almost like a 3-second rule.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So, you know, the way they look and what they pull up in is going to be a reflection of how they operate their business.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be the best by any means, but you just want something that looks like they've been doing this for a while and they're professional. So it's that first impression is a huge thing, although that's really not the most important thing by any means.
Yeah.
But it gets you in the ballpark and going, you know what, this is the truck that's going to be sitting in front of my house for 2 weeks or 2 months.
Yeah.
Is this what I want?
Yeah, yeah. And I think definitely ties in with that whole gut, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, your gut impression to me is huge.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. And then there's, you know, other things that, you know, let's say you're interviewing your contractor, and really you should view it like you're interviewing them.
Okay.
They're on the spot. They're there not to impress you. They are there to, they've got to answer your questions succinctly and in a way that makes you feel comfortable. And it doesn't mean that they're right or they're wrong, per se, but everybody is different, right?
Yeah, yep.
So, you know, what your personality is you may work better with some people than other people would work with them, and you're going to want to find somebody that you can work well with.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where you said it doesn't just come down to price. You know, the guy with the best price may be someone that, you know, you guys just don't click.
Yeah,
right?
It's never about price. Actually, if you go on price alone, then you're missing out on some of the most important elements of that job.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think everybody's interpretation of the job and everybody's skill level is a little different. So it you know, the price is very, very fluid. Like it you can't just base it on price, for sure. And I like that. I think your relationship and your be able to work with that contractor, seeing that big picture, especially if it's a big job. You're right. If it's just a small, you know, just need a flower bed put in and they're going to be gone in a couple of hours, then it's kind of a different thing. But if someone that's going to be in your backyard for 2 months, then it needs to be someone that you like, you know, what do they say? Know and trust, right?
Yes. And so a couple of things that are going to also, you want quality coming in. And you, as the person doing the hiring, need to understand a few things. The installation methods and the products that are going to be installed on your job.
Okay.
That can be a huge indicator of change in value from one when you, as the consumer, are trying to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges.
Yep, yep. And that products especially is something that a designer can help with as well. Right, just kind of saying,
will indicate what products they want or equivalent alternatives.
Yes.
And if you're working with a designer, then when someone suggests, hey, I'd like to use this product, well, then you call up your designer and say, what's your thoughts on that? You get that outside opinion, not from the company, but from somebody that is still a specialist, still an expert, but not affiliated with the organization giving you the proposal.
Right. Yeah. But so method is more, you know, is important as well. And that might not, you know, it's, I'm not an expert. I'm a designer, but I'm not an expert in construction methods. So you really have to understand that what they're doing is the right thing and in the best time, most time efficient way too.
Oh, this is the beauty. This is when, Joanne, you can really figure out what the contractor, if they know what they're doing, or if the contractor is kind of going along with it, and it's not really their area of expertise.
Okay.
So when you ask them how they're going to install it, they should never talk over your head. If they start talking technical lingo, jargon, and they're talking over your head, they haven't been doing this very long.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they're trying to impress you with big words and terms. Okay?
Okay.
So, because a contractor that's been around the block a few times knows that if they start talking over your head, they've lost you. They have enough. They've gotten enough feedback from other customers, and all. You know what? I've got to say this in an easily relatable way that my customers can pick up what I'm putting down.
Okay.
And so you want to ask them, hey, how do you install this? And the contractor should go, oh, I love that question. This is how we do this.
Mm-hmm.
We put this much base in, we put this in, or we dig the hole like this, or we bring these materials in like this. And as you're listening, it should almost be like he's excited, almost like, or she's excited, almost like they're walking through the project in their mind. And you should feel a certain energy, a certain vibe, because now they're done selling. Now they're explaining their craft,
right.
Their passion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, oh, yeah, this is what we do. This is how we do it. And then when they're having that conversation, they should tell you what they do different. And they should – here's another thing that I didn't get to earlier. Well, you are in control of the budget. You're in control of the plan. But you're also the amateur, right? So
right.
You don't know.
Yes.
You don't know your budget. You don't know the plan. But your contractor does.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say, I would like to do this, and you have a contractor that you feel good about, then that contractor should be able to come up with alternate or changes to that plan that you can then approve through your designer, and that you, as the consumer, can calculate the price. And this sounds weird, but a good example, here's a story. Vladimir, I was doing a job for this old Russian couple, and I love these guys. They were just phenomenal customers. I just got along with them so well. They bring me in to have tea and whatever, you know, authentic food from their country. And we talk stories and do these things. And, you know, he had my pricing, Joanne, broke down verbatim. He knew how much my excavation was, how much my retaining walls were, how much every component of the job was. And he calls me out one day and he says, Stanley. And I said, yeah, Vladimir, what's up? He says, I want to know how much extra it will cost me to put some more retaining wall in. And I said, okay, Vladimir, so I'm out there with my tape measure, my notebook, and I'm calculating everything out, and I get it all figured out. Literally takes me like 15, 20 minutes to get everything exactly how we wanted it, outlined it, so I could get him just a ballpark quote before
right.
we move forward with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing there, and he's nodding his head. He's going, yeah, yeah, as he's listening to me talk. And then after I'm all done, Joanne, he pulls a notebook out from behind his back, looks at it, and he goes, yeah, you're right.
Oh.
And I'm like, Vladimir, you old son of a duck. Why didn't you just tell me how much it was going to cost and save me all this trouble? You know my pricing.
Yeah, that is very cool. So he was checking your math.
Yes, yes. So that's where you, the consumer, because your project probably will change. They're fluid. They do change.
They do, yeah.
And that's the beauty. When you're working with a contractor and you know how the pricing is broke down, you can sit in the evening and go, golly, I really would like to do this. You don't have to wait till the morning to ask them what you want to do. You can look up the contract and go, boom, 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 boom. It should cost me about that.
Right.
You are in complete control.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. A lot of contractors hate giving up that control. That's where that magic mystery number comes from. But that magic mystery number is also a sign that they don't know what they're doing when they're pricing it out.
Yeah. Or they're really, they're pricing just too much of a ballpark, really.
Yeah, they throw one giant dart at the board, and they hope and pray that they're going to have profit in it. Well, a good contractor knows what every component of the job's going to cost and where their profits lie and can give you those numbers comfortably. And then you, the consumer, can figure out and calculate what changes you want to make.
Yeah, definitely. All right. And so when you pick your contractor, having something in, having that quote, like having everything in writing is a good thing.
You've got to get – here's the thing about getting it in writing, Joanne.
Yeah.
You want a good contractor from a consumer standpoint will have a lot of detail in there. Mm-hmm. It won't be so technical that you can't understand it.
Right.
You may have to sit and figure it out, okay, because the contract really is about protecting the contractors, not about protecting you, the consumer. And this is what this show is about. We want you, the consumer, to be safe and protected.
That's right.
So you've got to understand every component of it. But one of the things that you should look for is what the contract includes, of course, but what the contract doesn't include.
Yes.
The possibilities. We may need saw, but it's not included in there. Well, ding, ding, ding. There you go. That's not a red flag. That's a bonus.
Yeah.
Here's this company telling you, hey, these are things that we've seen on the 500 other jobs we've done that could come up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not included in your bid that we have for you right now. But you know what? We can give you a price for that, or we just want you to be aware of it.
Right, right. No, that's true. That's very good. That's a very good point. Okay. Well, so we're getting close to finding out more and more about hiring a qualified contractor. So thank you very much. We're going to pause for one more commercial break. You are listening to Down the Garden Path. We'll be right back. Yellow.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Looking for a great place to go for excellent coffee and delicious treats? Come visit us at Three Steps Up Coffee House in Whitby. Our coffee is made with freshly ground free trade coffee beans that are brewed at just the right temperature for the ultimate coffee drinking experience. Try one of our mouth-watering handmade treats that allow you to enjoy a little slice of heaven. We offer hearty organic soups such as butternut squash with toasted almonds and sweet potato, carrot, and ginger. There is something for everyone, from healthy salads to gourmet sandwiches and delectable chocolate treats. Contact us to find out more about our amazing catering services. Find us at 605 Brock Street North in Whitby, Ontario. Licensed under the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. Open Mondays to Saturdays, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Seating for private functions and events available. Contact us by phone at 905-430-7817 or check out our website at www.threestepsup.weebly.com. Three Steps Up Coffee House. Three steps up to a perfect cup.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send Joanne an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much, Carrie. We are back. We are back with my guest, Stan Genetic. Stan, I can't believe time is flying by, isn't it?
I know. How much time do we got left, Joanne?
We've got about 7 or 8, 9 minutes or so.
Go 10.
We can go 10.
Okay,
all right.
We still got 5 or 6 super important points
okay.
that I want to make sure consumers know before we let them go.
Excellent.
These are the things that can really, make a difference on your project.
Excellent. And we have listeners from all across North America, both in the U.S. and Canada. So all this advice you're giving us is wonderful.
Oh, perfect. That's
excellent.
Good to know. All right, Joanne, so let's say you found the person you like. Now I want you to test the waters with them.
What do you mean, test the waters?
So what is the communication like during the bid process?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yes.
You want to see how fast they're going to respond. You're going to get better service when you're dangling the hook in front of them and they think they're going to land you as a customer.
Okay.
Then after they've landed you as a customer. Okay?
Okay.
So you want to make sure that if their communication is spot on during the bid process, if at any point you have doubts or hesitations, well, that's a red flag.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Yep. So make sure you know about that. Another important thing is warranty.
Oh, yes.
You know,
warranty.
Plants have warranty.
Yeah.
The quality of their work. The question of warranty shouldn't be a head scratcher. It should be, yes, here is my answer.
Yes.
You know, if they have doubts or hesitations about warranty, well, how long have they been in business that they've never been asked this question or they don't have a stock answer that they can pull out of their back pocket and give to you?
Yep, definitely.
Okay. So that's kind of a big thing. Now, here's one of the things that consumers really need to watch out for. Down payment.
Ah.
Your deposit. This is where you will get ripped off.
Really?
You, the consumer, will get taken to the cleaners time after time on the down payment or the deposit.
Really? Okay.
This is how we've addressed that question. From my company's standpoint, here's what I tell my customers. Now, you got to understand, Joanne, that we work on $2,000 to $200,000 jobs.
Okay. That's a good range, though. Okay.
So the average backyard job that we do is anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000.
Okay. Yep. And that would be about the same here.
Okay. And so when we go into a backyard, a lot of times the customer is ready to write me out a check for half down.
Oh.
And I say, whoa.
Yeah.
No. Don't do that. That's showing your inexperience. Okay.
Okay.
I don't say that to them, but I'm saying that to your audience now. You never give your contractor half down under any circumstance.
Okay.
If it's just to get on the job schedule and you're not ordering materials that are special delivery or special order materials, so let's just say it's just a stock job, whether that's, you know, doing something, landscaping, whatever, what you want to do, this is how we operate. I ask my customers for a $100 check.
Oh, really?
Okay. And what that does is that commits them, whether they follow through or not, once they give me that $100, that's mine to keep.
Okay.
If you change your mind, I get to keep that $100 for putting you on the schedule, because as soon as I get that $100 check, they now have a place reserved in line.
Okay.
And that means also that maybe their job takes a week or 2 weeks. Other jobs I may not be able to do because customers don't want to wait.
Right.
And so that commits them. But I don't ask for a half down until I actually physically get to the job site.
Okay. But that 100 is enough for you. 100, what you're wanting is just the commitment from them.
That's what I want. Now, if I have to get a permit or I have to do something before the job, I'll actually have the customer, as soon as I get the permit in hand, I'll pay for the permit myself, and then I'll bring it out and I'll be clear, hey, you know what, here's the permit. We can't start your job for 2 weeks after it, but I want to get paid for the permit.
Right, okay.
So I want to get paid for any very specific materials or things that I have to do before the job happens. I want to get paid for those to make that job happen, because as a contractor, I need to protect myself. If we order $10,000 worth of specialty materials and the customer then cancels, we're stuck on the line still paying for those materials.
Yeah.
So in that case, if it's a special order windows or special order custom-made block or paver blocks or whatever, if it's something that is out of the ordinary that I can't return under any circumstance, then, yes, you're going to have to pay me for those materials, and I will, as a contractor, provide you a receipt, show you that the materials are paid for and delivered. But oftentimes contractors want half done right away. Don't give it to them.
Okay. Okay, so
that's where most of your scams happen.
Yeah.
Another thing asked about the job schedule, Joanne.
Yeah.
So when a contractor says, "Yeah, well, we'll come in," and you say, "How long is the job going to take?" Well, if it takes 2 weeks, find out if that's two steady weeks or if that contractor is going to be bouncing around from job to job.
Yeah, that's a big one for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How many crews they have going? That type of thing, right? Whether they're on site.
Just want a commitment that they're going to be there every single day from start to finish.
Yes.
You want your job started and you want it wrapped up, and you don't want somebody else's job to have a priority for 2 or 3 days while you sit and wait so they can go out and do something else.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I think that's a big one, and that's a definite source of customer frustration for sure.
And then here, I don't know what it's like, you know, up in your neck of the woods, but there's two things when we wrap up a job. Let's say it's gone good, your job is done, and you're ready to pay.
Okay.
A couple things that you need to do. In my neck of the woods, as last time I checked, if the customer writes paid in full on the check, that is similar to having a lien release.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, you're going to have to see every area might be different.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that still is right, but I always tell my customers, whether that's me or anyone else, you always write paid in full.
Okay.
On that check. Because
I'll have to check that out, yeah.
And that's something to check out, because then when the contractor deposits that check, that's like executing the contract.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they're acknowledging that they've been paid in full, and they can't come back at you, and you want to get a lien release.
Right. Okay.
So that is something else. So a contractor, if you don't get a lien release when the job is all said and done, the contractor doesn't necessarily have to. The contractor can still go back after you, the consumer, and apply a lien on your property.
Oh, okay, okay.
And
yeah, I don't know that happens as much here.
That you got to be careful of.
Yeah, I don't know that happens as much here, but we do have listeners in the U.S., so that's definitely something to consider for sure.
Right.
For sure. So, as we're wrapping up, what else? What's our big? Do you have our big finale?
I just wanted to make sure I got those points out.
Excellent.
Because those are the things that trips up a lot of people.
Yeah, no, definitely. And those, I think you've really done a great job. The social proof, the multiple quotes, being aware of that magical, I'm going backwards here, not in any particular order, but that magical mystery number, I love that term, getting multiple quotes, going with your gut, social proof, and I think that's all tied in together there, and communication, and I've written a blog post myself about that. I think even with a contractor, the designer to contractor communication, the customer to contractor communication, communication is one of the key things I find to an actual complete job going well, if there's good communication. So I really like that.
Yeah, we've hit a lot of points, and I know I was kind of rushing them, but there were so many things that
I think you've done a great job. And I wanted to have a minute or so to just tell us a bit about your podcast. Share with me. I can tell that you've got such a passion for this industry, and I think it's commendable that you wanted to spread your passion and really help educate other contractors. So why don't you spend a minute just telling us about your podcast and how it's going?
Well, Joanne, thank you for the opportunity to share with you on that. Even this show, even though we're protecting the consumer in this show, if a contractor is listening to this, they should be taking just as many notes as the consumer should be taking, because this is the blueprint on how to be a good contractor. And when you're a good contractor, you're going to be busy. And my show, thelandscapebusinesspro.com, takes these lessons for contractors even further for business owners. I go out and I find experts from around the world, from different areas of expertise, so they don't have to just be good at contracting.
That's
I don't look. I don't like to interview contractors. I like to interview people outside of the industry, but then I pull something highly specialized about what they do and apply it specifically towards contractors, towards landscapers, towards business owners in general.
Yes, and I've listened to several of them, and they are you manage to do it. You really do a great job at that, really applying it to our industry and our business.
Well, thanks, Joanne. I appreciate that. So, yes, it can be found at landscapebusinesspro.com or it's in iTunes and Stitcher. It's a podcast.
Excellent.
Just type in landscaping. You'll see it. I also have a YouTube channel.
Okay.
Where I do shorter versions because those are 30-minute shows. So I do 2-3 10-minute videos where we drive home a point and it's just content enriched. It's like, boom, you better take notes, you better be able to write fast and hit replay because I'm going to give you everything I've got after 30 years in the business.
Wow, well, thank you very much, Stan, very much. Listeners, please check out Stan's podcast at landscapebusinesspro.com. And I wanted to thank you very much, Stan, for joining me on my show tonight.
Thank you,
Joanne. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
So I wanted to thank everyone else for listening and joining me down the garden path this week. Next week, you get me all to yourself. I'm hoping spring will be here, but we'll have to wait and see. So get your questions ready, whether they're on landscape design, gardening, plants, all your questions that you've been gearing up. Please have them ready for me for next week, and I look forward to speaking with you. So thanks again, and thank you for joining me on Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
You've been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.